It finally happened. I feel like I need to talk to you guys about this. Mm-hmm. So this morning, I was, as your resident naked window neighbor,
mm-hmm. yes, mm-hmm.
I took a shower and then I got out of the shower. And for some reason, I don't know why I did this, I wrapped the towel only around my bottom half.
Why?
I don't know. I like dried off and then I was just like free the nip nops, just yes. like wrapped nip-nop. Around wrapped around the bottom half. And I was like making coffee in my kitchen.
Yeah.
Why?
Like you do.
Like yeah, I great. Do. Uh-huh. And my cat like did this thing where he like ran from the living room to the kitchen window and like was looking out the window. And I was like, oh, precious.
What are you looking at?
So cute. Right. Oh, so no. I was just like, what are you looking at? So I like went over to the window like a fuck. Why? Like oh. I am naked from the top up. Right. You know, like from the waist up. And I was like, oh, what are you looking at? And I'm like, oh, there's nothing out here. I don't see anything. And then like there was someone in their car parked on the street.
Oh, my
like
God.
In front of my building.
Did you make eye contact?
No. Eye contact. No. I was like, I literally backed away. Like backed away from the window.
Oh,
why?
No.
Why am I this person? I know I can see into my apartment yes. from the street.
It's just boobies. It's like that that TV God. Show You where she's like full on masturbating okay.
like,
to the streets
the
of New York.
That's a lot though.
Like, that's so extra.
Because also like why is your bed or couch even facing that window? Yeah. Like it's weird.
It's curtains. The weirdest.
Curtains exist.
People, curtains.
So
what do you
strange.
Want?
Dude, it's just boobies. Like to right. me I'm just like really I'm like my naked body, okay, whatevs.
I mean, it's fine. Honestly, I like the way I look naked. I have no problems with that. It's just that, like, I know that people can see me. Why would I go stand in front of my window? I don't know. It doesn't even make sense to me. I don't
oh,
know.
God.
But it was bound to happen.
Yeah. The other thing that I think that is important that we talk about, though, you brought up right yes. before we started recording. I don't know that much about the story, just a little, but
I only know what Tyga. Keegan sent us the article.
Oh, and I fucking am here for this.
Oh.
This has been living rent-free in my brain.
Too much.
Oh, my God. Okay, so.
Wait, first I need to discuss. First of all, we're going to talk about Tyga. Wasn't he married? I'm so confused.
He is technically still married, but I guess I know. Because let me tell you, I went and saw a screening of Jojo Rabbit where Taika Waititi was there. Mm. And even though
he
I went with my fiance,
so good looking, it hurts.
He's an in person. He is so good looking and so charismatic.
Oh.
It is. I was there with my fiance and I immediately Googled whether or not he was married.
Now that is hot.
Yeah.
That is hot.
Yeah. I was like, I need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was. He is married. And he is still married.
Okay.
But I guess they've been like separated
okay.
since last year at some point. So he started, I guess, dating Rita Ora.
Right.
Who
Amazing.
Is a singer. I mean,
yes. beautiful.
I'm here for it. She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then there were pictures taken with Tessa Thompson. I sent you guys the photos,
yes.
right?
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
it looks, I mean, I don't know what else could be going on because it's like Taika Waititi's in the middle.
Uh-huh.
You've got Rita Ora on one side, Tessa Thompson on the other side. Then you've got Taika Waititi making out with Rita Ora. And then he is kissing Tessa Thompson on the mouth. And then there's a picture of Tessa Thompson and Rita Ora together where it looks like they're kissing.
Wow.
And I'm like, is this
so hot.
A thruple?
I want
I
it
stan.
To be. I stan it so.
I didn't know I needed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we deserve this.
We
deserve
it was
this.
A hard year
last
year.
Your husband.
Thank you, Tyga.
Ooh, my goodness. You know, Polly, like for me, the couple experiences that I've had in it, if the communication's there and the honesty and the trust is there, it can be like a really amazing, beautiful, wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
It gets fucked up a lot.
Yeah.
And it's from one of those issues, someone not communicating, someone being shady, the normal stuff that's in a
All
normal monogamous relationship
sure.
too. So, Yeah, I'm even here for
that's not what this is, and it was just like a hookup, I'm also here for
I'm also here for that.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know.
Listen.
Those are three very attractive people.
Like, very, very attractive.
Tessa Thompson is so hot. Like, just personality wise, when I see her in interviews and stuff like that, I'm just like, I thought she was with Janelle Monáe for a minute, and you know how I feel about Janelle Monáe.
Yeah.
Like, that's a...
You're like, put her in the mix. Shit.
Throw her in there.
Throw her in. Shit.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm here for it. And I'm here for more representation of that kind of relationship style, too. Mm-hmm. I do feel like that it's still stigmatized.
Sure.
And really, like, a lot of people, their first reaction to seeing something like that is always like that it can't be healthy, right, or that someone's always getting hurt or like blah blah
manipulated,
blah,
but like, especially when it's one man and two women.
Exactly.
I feel like that's how it's been framed.
Sure.
Oftentimes is like it's a man who's taking advantage of two women, but I think that
take advantage of him.
I think that does happen, but I also think that you are not giving enough credit to a lot of women who choose.
Have autonomy and are allowed to make those decisions.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I did it, it was a perfect situation for me because I did not want to get into a serious relationship at the time. And it felt like it was a good way to have a quote unquote like relationship without like all the trappings of like, where are we moving towards? Like all that stuff. It was a great healthy way for me to deal with like post divorce and everything.
Yeah.
But I just feel like more stories about like healthy polyamorous relationships need to be out there and need to be told.
Well, I think that there's this idea just like with gender and everything else that is coming to the forefront of like, it's all very much a construct. Mm-hmm. And you know, many, many cultures well before I don't even recognize that there's only two genders. There's many, and open relationships are so common, or polyamorous, or I mean, you know, like there's so many ways that you can live a healthy life, and it doesn't have to be whatever construct has been created for
you. Well, and you know, you can be sexually attracted to people without being romantically attracted to them either.
Absolutely.
Like, and that should be destigmatized as well. Where it's just like, you know, because we don't know what's going on in this situation. And it could just be that they're like, oh, we had a really fun
evening.
Night. Yeah.
And
you know?
Awesome.
And it was
awesome.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. And like,
thanks
that's cool
for letting
too.
Us see.
Yes.
Or maybe they are like the internet really wants them to be a throuple, and I stan it.
Yeah.
I'm here for it regardless.
But yeah, we don't know what's going on there, and it's all valid and none of it fucking matters.
Yeah,
seriously.
Exactly.
Like the world is such a shit place a lot of the time. Like, let people enjoy themselves.
Exactly.
Let hot people take pictures of themselves.
Yes. And let us in on it.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
Please.
I didn't even go on Pornhub this week after this.
Didn't mean to. Filed that shit away right away.
Exactly.
Like, lock that right in.
In the cloud now.
In my brain cloud.
So we also got an amazing email this week from a listener that I wanted to share at the top here. She says, love you ladies. This is such a wonderful podcast in sharing stories that are kept tucked away in embarrassment. This podcast is a comedic comfort knowing you're not alone in it. Dating is a hot fucking mess. So please do a dramatic reading of my DM exchange on TikTok from a stranger.
On TikTok.
Yeah, which I'm sure every lady has had. So yeah, when someone just slides into those DMs. So
I'll play Guy.
Okay. And go for it.
Okay. So I'm Guy. Hi, how are you?
Very well. Thank you. Thanks for the follow.
You're very beautiful.
Thank you.
Are you married?
No.
Single?
Yes, but not looking to date.
Well, if you're single, I'd love to get to know someone like you. You seem so funny, down to earth.
Thank you, but I don't use this as a dating app. I just like to post content and make people laugh. That's all.
Do you have a WhatsApp?
No.
You should download it so we can chat.
Again, no thank you.
What do you do for fun?
No.
No? Why not?
No thank you.
What's wrong with me? If you can, you get to know me, I really think we would get along.
Why?
Blank.
Why? LOL, you're so funny. Seriously, if you don't like WhatsApp, I can give you my number.
When a woman says no, she means no. Hope you find what you're looking for. Have a nice day.
You too, beautiful. So where are you from?
Small talk is for Tinder. Again, no thank you.
Okay.
And blocked.
Why?
Scene.
Why? Why? I sent you guys. I got one on Instagram recently, and I was just like, has this ever worked? I mean, I guess maybe it has worked in the past, but I don't understand it. And when somebody continuously says, like, I'm not interested, I'm not looking to date, no thank you.
How many times you'll be drunk.
Yeah.
If you took a shot for every time she said no.
Well, her question is, she has a question for us. Now, we're not a dating advice podcast, but
disclaimer.
This is the question. She says, do you think it's a mistake to link your Instagram to your dating profile?
Hmm.
Now, you can do that on Tinder. My own experience is I went back and forth between linking it because it is kind of cool. Because your dating profile is very curated.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas people are a little looser on their Instagram. And it was nice if you were like going to match with a guy to look and be like, from the Instagram, no, never mind. Right. Like the profile was giving me something, but the Instagram, it's like, I don't see the vibe.
I think it would be useful as someone on the dating app to have that option, but I don't want people going to mine.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I think as long as you disconnect, like don't have the option to email, phone number, all that kind of stuff. Like, you know how you have like those little buttons below. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to be able to contact me through it.
Yeah.
That feels very personal. Yeah. So I think as long as you have those notifications or those things set up to not be available, then maybe.
Because I mean,
do agree. It
also,
is helpful.
The truth of it is, I think all three of us, or at least I know me and Cassie, have public Instagrams. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, it wouldn't be hard for someone. I have a unique name. It wouldn't be hard for someone to find me. If you Google my name, it's one of the first things that comes up anyway. So it's like, and I have a public Instagram, and like that's kind of the risk you take no matter what if you have a public Instagram.
Yeah.
So I think I probably would link it just because I would want that information, and then you can always block them on Instagram.
That's true.
You know, it's a public place.
Yeah. 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 I went back and forth because I was just like, I also don't know, and I know we have males that listen to this podcast, but I do think that females check out the guy a lot more before the first date.
Oh, hell yeah.
Than vice versa. Part of it for us is a fucking safety issue, you know, and maybe you see something on Instagram like, oh, you have a Confederate flag sticker on your bumper. This is not going to work out. You know what I mean?
You know what? This actually just happened recently. I had a model on set and she has a public Instagram. So she would be like, she'd be like, if I post anything, because she's like, I had somebody who was like stalking me basically. And she's like, I have to be careful. Like, if I go to Disneyland, I can't post pictures of Disneyland until
you're home.
Until I'm home, well past the time I was there, so that no one knows where I'm at the time. That's something also I think should be noted, because even if you blocked someone, they can make up a fake profile and still be stalking your shit.
Mm-hmm. Short of having a private account. Yeah. And I mean, I think that I don't take my own advice on this, but I do think that is sound advice to not tag yourself while you're at the place.
Right.
Because there's
who knows who's gonna show up.
Could just show up.
Right.
And I've had like really uncomfortable experiences with people who are just like V into you for no reason, you know, and it would scare me if I was like, oh, we're at the Barrel, and I tag somebody that we're at the Barrel, and that person shows up there.
Right.
You know, so I do think it is smart to either just not tag the place while you're there, or get home, post the pictures, and then tag the place. You know, like, because, that shit could get scary real fast.
Ugh. Yeah.
Thanks for writing in your question, though. I love that. If you guys have more questions, this is my worst date. I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Cassie.
And you can email us at myworststatepodcast.com. Yeah. Or just like reach out on any of our socials. We're all linked.
Yeah, so, that's true.
Slide into our DMs. I don't mind. So
I was like, that was Christina.
Yeah, that was Christina. That's CC
in a friendly way.
Yes, yeah, yeah. That's true.
not like this guy.
I actually have had listeners DM me about things, and it's actually it's nice,
lovely.
We have the best listeners.
Correct. We really do.
We have a good crew. So who are we gonna fuck, marry, kill this week?
Oh, I'm still stuck on Taika.
I know. I was like,
how do we get him involved?
Directors.
We've done directors, but we could do directors again. There's many directors to choose from.
I choose Taika.
Damn it.
It's not fair. Okay.
You're like, I shared the story with you guys.
Let me Google like best
hot
directors.
That haven't done anything problematic. Okay. That list is short.
Small.
Eli Roth is hot.
Yeah.
Eli Roth is hot.
Yeah.
He a freak.
For real.
He a freak. I might have to go.
That's you for real. That's your vibe. Eli Roth. You're like, I've seen all your movies.
I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. They make me uncomfortable, but also kind of hot. Let's see. Who else we got? Ooh, who's this? Carrie Fukunaga? I don't know who this is. But
Oh, yeah. He did.
Good looking. Hi.
He did Beasts of No Nation, The Jane Eyre, True Detective.
Okay. That's mine.
Okay. All
right. That sounds right.
Carrie Fukunaga. How do you say his name?
Fukunaga is what it looks like.
Will you just send that whole link to that whole page to me so I can use it?
Yeah. Log that away for later. Yeah,
no,
he did.
For pictures.
Oh. I thought you wanted to keep it for your own spank bank. Just directors. Chris comes home. He's like,
it's problematic.
Why?
Eli Roth.
Okay. Taika Waititi, Eli Roth, and Carrie Fukunaga.
And you know what? He did direct that new Jane Eyre with Michael Fassbender. So that makes so much sense for you, Christina.
Absolutely.
It really
so much.
Does.
Speaking of spank bank.
Those mutton chops on him, am I right?
Dude, fast.
No, but seriously, ew.
Okay. All right.
Wow. Oh my God. I'm actually a little hot and bothered about this.
I know. This one's hard.
I don't know what to do.
I don't either.
I'm scared.
I'm torn. Okay.
I'm torn too. I think I'm going to marry Eli Roth.
Okay.
I feel like it's going to be a ride.
It is going to be. His movies, first of all, scary as fuck.
Yeah.
It'd be very difficult to go to a premiere.
And you know what? Like, and the thing is, Eli Roth, while I think he's super hot and I do watch his movies, it's not my kind of horror because it's a lot of like
it's
body horror
gross.
And like,
I do like, gore,
like gory stuff, which is not my thing.
Hostel
was so
That's
intense.
Brutal.
He did Green Inferno, which is also very brutal.
I'd be like, I don't know any of your movies, but you're really
but he
good
was
looking.
In Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hot in that.
He was so hot in that.
So hot. Yeah.
He did also direct Cabin Fever, which is a terrible movie. I stand by it. And I would tell that to his face. So
Damn.
And it would see what would happen with Eli Roth? I would say that to his face.
Like,
it'd be a lot of like insulting back and forth and then like really, really
sometimes
hot
she's bad on purpose.
Yeah.
What'd you say to me?
What? Actually, I'm changing my mind. The more I think about it, this is probably one of the more difficult
ones really
that
hard.
We've had.
This is actually really hard.
So hot.
They're all
oh
hot.
My God.
And they're all very different vibes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to fuck Taika Waititi. I'm going to fuck Taika Waititi. He's hot.
Fuck,
it's going to be a fun
Christ.
Night.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's welcome.
Yeah.
Mikasa. Yes. Sukasa. Come on in.
Me
There's
vagina.
Mattresses
AU
on the
vagina.
Floor.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's the name of this episode. Me vagina. AU Sue vagina.
Exactly.
I think it will be a night that I would. That's spank bank for sure.
But you see,
you're
Taika
keeping
Waititi,
that one locked away.
You're going to fall in love with him. I think that that's the problem is that he's so fucking charming.
Oh my God.
And like charismatic, and you're going to fall in love with him.
I can't marry somebody like that.
That's right.
Everybody will fall in love with
him. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the kind of, he's going to break your heart because like you're going to fall in love with him. You're going to have a great weekend. A couple years are going to go by. You're going to have thought about him every single day since the time you hooked up. And then he won't remember you when you see each other in a bar later, you know?
Yeah.
And
then you'll be like, heart. Oh, I'm Tyka. He'll introduce himself to you.
No. The pain.
Wow.
You're like, I know.
I remember.
And
he's like,
really?
I've never stopped thinking about
you. Oh, I'm crushed.
And then I think, and this is a mistake, I should marry Eli Roth. I should, because I feel like he has more of a sense of humor than Cary Fukunaga.
But his art, you are such a...
Yeah, this is the right choice for you.
Yes.
Deep conversations
with red wine and, oh, that True Detective vibe. That first season...
So good.
...with Matthew McConaughey. Mm.
Very good.
So good. So good. The vibe of it, everything was like
awesome. On point, yeah.
Yeah, I would have so much fun talking with him about his influences and art and just...
Yeah, he seems like... such an artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you love. You love an artist.
Yeah.
You know.
Not that to my detriment.
Eli Roth
sometimes.
Is not an artist, but you know, it's different.
I think I just feel like day-to-day conversations and vibe go better with me and Cary than me and Eli.
Sure.
Which sucks because I just feel like Eli would be like somebody I think I could have fun with.
Yeah, but I'm very conflicted about this whole thing because I feel like Eli Roth and I are gonna burn hot and fast.
Mm-hmm. So like, fuck him.
Yeah, but then what do I do with Tyka? This is hard. I don't know what to do.
Marry him and learn how to share.
I think
marry him and be
share
okay
my toys.
With sharing.
I think I know what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I think that I love somebody smart. I love being able to have deep conversations. Mm-hmm. I love learning from people. And there's part of me that feels like I could do that with Tyka, but I don't like sharing my toys. I am not into that. So that is tough for me, but I also think I'm just going to fuck Tyka.
Yeah.
Now the question is, who am I going to have deeper conversations with? Is it going to be Cary or Eli? I actually think it might be Eli because I think we're different enough.
You would have so much to talk about because you'd be coming from different, but your vibes seem similar.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he's good friends with Quentin Tarantino.
Oh my God.
Is your Eli
Roth. Having him over for dinner all the time, hanging out.
There's part of me
keep
that
the fun
doesn't.
Of a game night too. I feel like
there's part of me that like if I knew that Quentin was coming over for the evening, I would wear the sexiest heels and make sure my toes were painted.
Oh God.
Just cause.
Ew.
Not that I want anything to happen, just because I want him to know what he can't have.
Oh my! There you go.
God. I'm just weird like that.
There you go.
Yeah, weird. But
I like that decision for you.
I like it. Yeah, I think Eli Roth is the right choice for me. I think that. I have a lot of people who love scary movies, and in my life, I could not watch probably any of his movies.
You know what? I actually feel like Eli Roth would be chill if you were like, I'm not going to go to this premiere.
Oh,
I think you'd be all right.
I'd have to just sneak out before the movie starts because I also
want to
be
in the pictures, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do the press and then you walk away. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Meet me in the bathroom, honey.
This is, he is really hot. This is really, really hard.
It's
I'm actually
really
pissed
hard.
Off right now. Like,
oh,
I'm
damn.
Like, I'm like mad that I have to make a decision right now because I feel like Tyka, that the sex is going to be insane. And I actually feel like the lead up to it is also going to be great because he's so fucking smart.
He's so smart and so hot and sexy. I'm like, that foreplay,
the talking foreplay. The talking.
Oh God,
Is going to be incredible.
That's why he's sunk in your brain forever.
Yes,
because
you're going to remember that night.
The that forever.
Yes.
And again, hi, I'm Tyka, and you're like,
So I almost feel like you have to marry him just so he doesn't forget you. You're going to remember my name, bitch. But so I feel like that is an obvious choice, Eli Roth. I feel like it would almost be too much for us for long term. And Cary, he's okay. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Because I don't want to kill any of them.
Right.
I would like to fuck all of them.
Walk away. And let God sort it out.
Yeah. but I think I'm actually, I'm going to make a mistake and marry Taika. I'm going to marry him because I feel like, you know, it might not work out in the end, but I feel like those good years are going to be good.
Real good.
Like really good.
Yeah.
Plus, I also just want my picture taken with him on the red carpet. Kind of like you. I'm like, I want to be, I want them to be like, who's that? Who's married to Taika? You know? And I am going to fuck Eli Roth.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
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 Jane Eyre fuck versus like the guy that
can't. Right. Like there's going to be candles with Carrie, you know, like it's going to be.
I feel like our sex life, though, is going to be. I don't see him as a candle romantic.
I think
person.
That you may get a night like that, but I think you may get.
I think he's very.
He's going to mix it up.
Yeah.
He's going to mix it up. You're going to be always guessing what's the night going to be.
And I also feel like the lighting is going to be just the magnificent. The lighting is
great.
The lighting
you're
in his
look
home.
So good.
Yeah. Cinematic lighting in that man's house like, for sure.
I installed a harness. And I'll be like,
yes. Are we filming this one?
And I love him and I love his work. It's nothing, to be honest, like I would rather, even though I love like, you know, horror, I would rather watch one of his movies than watch an Eli Roth movie. Like it's more just like more my vibe.
Yeah.
But I just, there's something about Eli Roth that's like primal that I'm like, I want to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Me too.
Betty likes
the hardest thing. That was the hardest thing. Yeah,
I think we need a break just to get a break to breathe.
I know. We might actually have to take 5 and then another 5 to digest all that.
I'm sweating.
I'm flushed. I'm very flushed. So take 5 and come back with stories.
Or 10.
And we're back. All right, Cass.
Here I go. I'm going to kick us off. All right. I got this from a Reddit. And it says, this one had some backstory. So here it is. I had just started living with my now ex-roommate and she was interested in this guy, but the guy had a roommate and it was always awkward to be the third wheel. So she'd bring me along. We hung out at the apartment while she tried to get that guy. I hung out with the roommate. We played games, but I wasn't particularly good at it, but I was having fun. The guy himself seemed kind of nice and introduced himself as a film student at the state university. Fine, whatever. I got hungry, heated up some shitty corn dogs. At that point, ex-roommate and the guy she wanted were somehow convinced that we were in love. So they suggested we hang out more often. At this particular point in time, I worked at Sanrio's store and just trying to make my own way. A couple weeks go by and the film student comes in with a black trench coat, black fedora, black pants with chains.
Is this the Matrix?
He's pasty white dude with red hair. He asked me if I was busy that night and my alarm bells were going off internally until he mentioned we'd get some dinner and a movie. So stupid, hungry me said, okay.
How many of us have been there? It's like
been
food.
Hungry.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'll meet you after my shift. My coworker overheard me and asked me if I was sure, especially since his internal alarm bells were ringing as well. I told him I'll be fine. It's just dinner and a movie. How wrong I was.
Wait, like, so, okay. I am confused.
Okay.
So, is she, like, I thought her roommate was the one that was interested in the film student.
No. Film student is the roommate of the guy that she was interested in.
So, I think the roommate...
is the film student.
Right, but the girl roommate...
yes. Is
right.
Not.
Is not. And I think that she wanted those two to be together. It was
because
like,
she wanted to be with the roommate.
Oh.
So she kind of came along as a fourth to a third wheel situation.
Kind of confusing. Okay. But yes. You know, I think we've all had those situations where it's just like there's a couple and then they have their friends or their roommates and they want those two to get together so that the four of them can like hang out.
Yes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
yes,
I think
yes,
that
yes,
that's
yes,
what's
yes.
happening here. It's okay. Like they are trying to force the filmmaker on this poor girl.
This, yeah.
Because they're like, we want us to be a...
yeah. We yes. want it to be a
couple.
A quad.
Couple.
Yeah.
Couples,
yeah.
Couples quad. While we eat, we are talking about what kind of anime we liked, since I think it I'd mentioned that I liked it a lot during our previous visit. So it was an interesting topic. It was then that he brought up a secret that he had never shared with anyone before.
Not a good idea on a first date. Don't do it.
No, I don't want to be the keeper of your secrets.
He talks to me about how he's actually an immortal scientist who lived in the center of the earth and had clones who were out to kill him.
Is this a hollow
Stop
earth?
It.
He changed his appearance every millennium or so to protect his loved ones from harm.
I'm so sorry. Stop it.
He tells me that he can see auras as well.
Oh, okay.
And that mine is apparently blue. I just went along with what he said because I didn't have any words for this. I didn't know what to think. Thankfully, we were still in the mall in a public place. So if anything happened, there were witnesses.
What do you guys honestly do if somebody straight fucking tells you that they are an immortal scientist?
Start packing it in. Like, we gotta go. Like,
I accidentally had something with dairy in it, I think. I have to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a 911 that situation.
I would rather shit my pants than stay in this conversation.
I don't know what I would do because I just feel like you're going to roll your eyes. It would be really hard. I feel like my face would speak on my behalf.
100 I'd be like, absolutely. Okay.
How do you keep a poker face in that situation?
Christina's the only one who could actually
potentially
make it through this. And because she'd be like, I need to hear everything.
Well, mostly I just want to know. I would want to know the origin of this belief of his.
Yeah.
Like, I need to know the origin.
He just knows.
Well, he's
immortal scientist.
It's also very broad. An immortal scientist of what?
What's your field
biology,
of study?
Yeah.
Chemistry.
And after
alchemy.
Yes. Yes, that one.
Oh my God.
Then we go to the movie. Zombieland was out, and I had mentioned before that we had seen it and that I hated zombies. I was extremely terrified of the idea of the dead coming back to life.
And don't worry, you got an immortal scientist to protect you.
But he didn't listen to me, and we watched it anyway. The whole time, I'm sitting there terrified, and he's trying to find a way to touch me, to comfort me. If anything, his touch has made it worse, so I had to sit there and lie and force myself to not be visibly terrified of the stupid-ass movie. Finally, it's over. He offers to take me home via public transportation, but I called my ex-roommate instead.
What?
And he picked me up. Or she picked me up. I thanked her and I told him that, or I thanked him and I told him that I hope his fight between him and Satan is in his favor.
Oh no.
Since I had asked him about 2012 and the supposed end of days, and he said he had a fight with Satan on that day.
Oh, sorry. It's in the calendar. What?
What kind of fight? Is it a duel?
Right.
Is it like a boxing match? Or
Battle of the
wits?
Minds? Yeah.
Is he going to use his alchemy?
Oh
my God.
Listen,
Doctor Strange.
What's happening?
Oh, God.
I'm concerned. I always wonder where these people end up. Like,
oh man. Another 2 weeks go by and he's almost constantly happened to stop by my workplace to either say hi to me or just waving and saying hi. So just from watching from the outside at a distance, my coworkers noticed this and they told him that he was banned from the store. But if he tries to bother me again, they're going to call security. I don't know whatever became of him after that. But while the date was hilariously bad and awkward, the aftermath was just awful.
Oh. Well, I'm telling you, he must have won. Because the world didn't end.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, kudos.
I mean, thank God she wished him luck.
I know. What would have happened otherwise?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Dr. Strange.
I have a pretty epic battle coming up in 2012 with
Satan.
Dude, things it's to do it's on a first date. I feel like even though we're not an advice podcast, I feel like we can pretty confidently say divulging huge secrets, especially ones that you're an immortal scientist, can wait until date.
Yeah, like bare mins.
Yeah.
Oof.
Okay. Mine is from Reddit as well. This happened in 2008, shortly after I got stationed in South Korea. I was a lowly private, albeit a reasonably attractive woman in my early 20s. I was out one night with some friends when a tall, funny, redheaded guy who happened to be one of my friend's soldiers asked to take me out to dinner.
Ooh, these are all redheads so far.
Okay, a theme.
Fiery. Friend told me it was a bad idea.
Uh-oh.
Listen to your friends.
Listen to your friends.
Listen to your friends. I asked why, but he wouldn't give me details.
Oh, no.
A guy friend was like, don't go out with this
and
guy.
And if they won't give you details. Yeah, no.
Yeah, especially always if a listen. Guy friend is telling you, because they're not normally ones to poke in any of that business unless they got something to really
say. Exactly. They know some shit.
Yeah.
My exact words were, what's the worst that could happen?
Oh, no.
Why would you ever ask that? Have you learned nothing from any movie ever?
What do you You definitely know immortal scientists.
Yeah, I'll tell you that much.
The following evening, we were supposed to meet at the taxi stand outside Post, but he was late. He calls to tell me he's at the ATM and asks if I have cash for the taxi. Not a great start, but sure, I can spring for the taxi. He gets to the stand and we ask the Korean taxi driver in our mash of Korean and English to take us to the nearby Air Force Base, which houses the only Chili's on the peninsula.
Oh, wow. Wow, very important.
We're going through back roads and I ask what he thinks of Korea so far. He starts going off on a rant about how these people don't even speak English, and I must have looked at him like he had lost his
mind. Are you not
mind.
In Korea?
And in a taxi with a Korean person.
Oh, my God.
As I open my mouth to speak, a little boy loses his ball and runs into the street to get it. This sets Red off all over again, talking about these people have no common sense.
Are
and
you
just
fucking kidding
really
me?
Racist, weird, and out of touch comments.
Wow.
When he finally takes a breath, I remind him that we're in their country, not the other way around, and that everyone's been really respectful, so I'm not sure what his problem was in the first place. He gets mad, puts his headphones on, not saying another word to me the whole way.
I'm sorry, this date is over.
Over. Take me back immediately.
When we finally pull up to the Air Force Base, I lean forward to pay the driver, and he says in perfect English with an American accent, "Thank you, ma'am. That will be X amount of won." And I could feel the blood rush to my face. Red does a double take at this man's English and darts out of the cab.
What the fuck did you think? Like, yeah. I mean, I've been to Korea, and while, yes, of course, you're in Korea, not everybody speaks English. A lot of people do speak English.
Right.
And it's Korea, their
it's
country.
Korea. Right.
Exactly. Right. But, like, I mean, to speak that freely in front of someone just assuming that they don't speak English is
stupid. Garbage. Yeah. This guy's an absolute garbage person. I apologize profusely, and the driver reminds me he speaks English, tells me he spent 10 years in Chicago, and that he knows I wasn't the one being awful. I tipped him as well as I could, thanked him, and apologized again. We had to take another, shorter taxi ride once on base to the Chili's. Red remained silent.
It's not worth it for some sizzling fajitas, I'm not going to lie to you.
No.
It's not.
No.
The baby back ribs are not that good, girl. Red remained silent, and not surprisingly, I paid for this one, too.
Jesus.
Red, who is about 6'2", dressed in baggy, bleach white shoes, pants, t-shirt, and a baseball cap, decides to go to the restroom as soon as we're seated. He comes back immediately and loudly commenting on everyone staring at him.
I hate this person so much.
Trying to lighten the mood, I say that it's strange how clear it is which guys are Army and which are Air Force. He asks me how I can tell, which is almost funny to me, and I use the phrase pretty boys to describe the Air Force guys and say the soldiers all look a little tougher. He starts yelling, like actually yelling at me, if I like Air Force guys so much, I should go out with one of them.
Okay.
Maybe I will.
Maybe I will, because this is terrible.
Right.
Server comes. I ask for a water. There's no way I want to be drunk around this dude.
No.
He insists. Wow, smart. Yeah. That the margaritas are the only reason to come to Chili's and orders one for me.
No, they're really not. They taste like any chain store margarita, which is like 90% ice.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
And bad sour mix.
Ugh.
I had one sip of the margarita and let him finish it on top of the 3 or 4 beers he has. He snaps at the server, sends his food back. Just everything he could have
done.
You
can just leave him, right? I mean, like, he obviously doesn't have cash for a taxi, so he'll just be stuck on base, I guess.
Perfect. The server brings the check and he says to her, oh, we'll split it right down the middle or something very clearly to the effect that I'm paying 50% of that
number. So I paid for the taxis and I'm paying for half of dinner. Very cool. Are you paying for the taxis back or how is this going to work?
How is this going to work? I am totally done at this point. Oh, if we're going to split it, let's split it. These beers are yours. The steak was yours. The appetizers are yours.
Yes, ma'am.
Technically, the margarita was mine, even though you drank it. But I'll take that. And my salad. And you, sir, can pay for the rest.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
The server's just standing there awkwardly as I finally raise my voice at this jerk. He opens his mouth to say something. I snap. What? Did I miss something?
Oh.
Oh, ooh, a queen.
Girl, get it.
And I hand the server the cash. He hands her his card. He didn't even tip, but I did. He was totally silent the entire ride back, which, of course, I paid for. I let his supervisor slash my friend, who had warned me, know how it went down and apologized for not heeding the warning. Somehow, at PT the next morning, Red had showed up in the wrong uniform and was smoked quite severely.
Oh, good.
I heard, but we never spoke again.
Wow.
All that to say, you can just leave dates.
Yeah.
Yes. You can.
You can.
If they put on headphone, like.
I'm sorry.
That's headphones.
We're done.
In the taxi. And how do you think it's going to get better?
It's not. It's not.
Racism is a pretty, like, I feel like once racism enters the chat, I feel like you can exit. You
know absolutely. What
I mean? I feel like we're done.
Like, I feel along with the. I would have
stayed in the taxi with Chicago Korean.
Yeah, I'd be like, can you take me
headed
to
right fucking back. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, you saw that. Do you mind just taking me back?
Yeah, I don't want to spend the night with this
we're
guy.
Done.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
100%. Wow.
Fuck. Not a dating advice podcast, but racism is also not a good thing.
I stand
to
by
bring
that advice.
The, yeah. The date.
I stand by that advice.
I feel like pretty solid. Yeah. You know, I am proud of her though for standing up for herself there at the end. And because a lot of people, I mean, I freeze in situations like that where I'm just like, you know what, it's almost over. Let's just whatever it takes to get out of the situation, like I'll just go along to get along. I appreciate that she didn't, and she at least made him pay for his shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Woof.
This is an email that we got to our inbox. It says, hey, ladies, I started listening to your podcast just this year and have been unhealthily binging it.
Aww, yay.
When I first started listening, I didn't really think I had anything to share. But since then, a couple of stories have made their way back into my consciousness. Feel free to share.
It happened.
My first ever date was in my freshman year of high school. I was in that stage where I had hit puberty a year or so before and had finally gotten contacts. So I was still somewhat unaware of my attractiveness to other people and was pretty flattered by any kind of attention.
I mean, we all have that ugly duckling moment. It was just like when I so I had like eye surgeries and stuff like that throughout my childhood. So there I was always wearing glasses until like high school, and I had one where they were like, yo, you don't have to wear them anymore. You'll just have to come in for surgeries every now and then. But yeah, that day where you didn't have to wear glasses, you're like, I was like, new me.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has that. It comes at different times for everybody. I feel like mine didn't really hit me until I was like almost 17 or 18. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I was just like, wow, people are actually showing interest. This has never happened before.
Right,
and
right.
You don't know how to like, you're like, well, how do I navigate this?
Yeah.
You know? There was this boy in a couple of my classes. We'll call him Alex. He was shy and a bit dorky and not really my type, but not unattractive. I had already shot up to 5'9". I feel you, Christina, she says.
Oh, yes.
5'9 at 14.
That's tall.
Yeah.
were you that tall at that age?
Yeah. No, I grew to 5'8 at 12.
Oh,
ooh,
my
girl.
God.
That is quick.
I was very tall. Yeah. Middle school dances were just like
soup's awkward.
Tit level.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the boobies in early too.
So she shot up to 5'9 and was dreaming of finding a 6 foot and above high schooler who I wouldn't have to uncomfortably crane my neck to kiss. And Alex, being a 14-year-old boy, was a couple inches shorter than me and gangly. We were also in drama club together, and I had gotten a bit of a vibe from him. Could tell that he thought I was cute, but like I said, not really something I was into. However, one day, I had stayed late after school for some reason and was walking through the empty halls when Alex suddenly appeared. With no real introductory conversation, he blurted out, "Hey, Lena, do you want to go to the movies with me Friday night?" He worked himself, like, you know, that he worked himself up to go over there, and like, he's like, I can't make small talk, I just have to get it out, you know? Yes.
But this is worst date, so I know this is gonna turn, but so far my heart.
I know. Having no concept of fuck politeness and being a super shy 14-year-old myself, terrified of hurting anybody's feelings, I said, okay, sure. He smiled, said great, and scurried away. Before turning the corner, I saw him do one of those fist pump victory gestures.
Oh my God, my heart.
I know.
This is the high schooliest of high school things.
I know.
You're simply the best. Yeah,
it's the end of fucking Breakfast Club. Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh God.
Even though I wasn't really into Alex, I was still kind of excited, shocked, and flattered about being asked on a real date. Those vibes are real. Like, you'll say yes to anybody.
Someone did a fist bump. They were so excited.
Yes.
Oh.
Friday came around and we met up at the movie theater. We ended up deciding to see that movie Date Night with Steve Carell and Tina Fey, which was probably pretty funny, but was definitely an awkward choice for a high school freshman first date. We hardly talked before the movie started and then said nothing the entire time, just sitting uncomfortably next to each other in the dark for almost 2 hours. When the movie got out, we walked out of the theater and Alex, summoning up the courage, grabbed my hand. I uncomfortably held it while we stood there, not saying much again until my dad drove up and I could give Alex a quick hug and run out. It's so awkward. I got home already knowing I would have to figure out a way to tell Alex this was not something I was interested in doing again. I logged on to Facebook and immediately was hit with all kinds of anxiety. Alex had sent me a relationship request.
Oh no.
After one date, on which we had hardly said two words to each other, after a few minutes of panicking, I knew there was only one thing I could do. I sent him what I thought was a very nice message saying how I'd had a nice time, but I really thought it would be better if we just stayed friends, and then denied the request. For the rest of that year and all of the next, Alex did not talk to me. We had many classes together and we both were in drama club, but nothing. We slowly became friends again, but that vibe of him liking me never went away. It never does.
Oh no.
There were two other specific instances where this was made apparent. One where he passed me a One where he passed me a note on a bus while we were traveling for chorus, in which he asked me if I thought I might possibly have feelings for him, with the options yes, no, and Alex, you're crazy.
Oh my god, options.
Oh. He gave options.
Little square to check.
Baby angel.
Another where he wrote me a note telling me that I could do better than going with the boy I was maybe going to prom with, and that he thought I was amazing and he wanted me to be happy.
Bless his heart.
It was an ongoing experience, and I was never really mean or confident enough to reject him too harshly, but I definitely never led him on after that first date. I finally had an actual boyfriend my senior year of high school, and that's when Alex's comments and notes basically stopped. Unfortunate that it took that, but yeah. And there's my story of my first and worst date. P.S. It's been almost a year since I left a 4-year-long abusive relationship. This year has meant a lot of processing and coming to terms with things, but also a year of amazing growth. Aww. Listening to everyone's stories and hearing about all the red flags we ignore and then learn to become aware of has made me laugh and cringe and feel less alone. Now I'm in the healthiest and happiest relationship I have ever experienced.
Yay.
And living my best life. Love you guys, and thanks again for sharing and letting me pretend you're all my friends.
Oh, you don't have to pretend.
Also, how's Alex doing?
I just was gonna say.
Can we do a Facebook check on Alex? That poor sweet baby.
What if he had a major glow up?
I bet he did.
Looks like Zac Efron now.
Oh, he changed his name to Taika Waititi.
Stop. He's not old enough.
I just started sweating immediately.
But
But also, I mean, look, as much as we can all feel for Alex, as we should, dude, every girl has been in that situation with somebody who holds on
very
too long.
Sweet, but you're just not interested. Yes.
And it does suck so that awkward. So often what it does take is getting into a serious relationship because like you're saying like, no, I'm not interested isn't enough to kind of like... you know, put out that fire. But thank you so much for that.
Oh my gosh, message. Thank you.
I couldn't stop smiling because it was so, so sweet. High school.
Alex, you're crazy.
Oh my god,
stop it.
That's what she checkmarked, by the way.
Like, no, yeah, she's underlined
and underlined crazy. Oh no, oh no,
poor baby.
All right, I'm excited.
Yes.
So. This story was actually suggested to us by someone in our Instagram.
Oh, wonderful.
Somebody contacted us and was like, have you heard this story? You need to cover it. And so I was like, okay. Awesome sauce. That person's name is Kate Hart. So shout out, Kate. Thank you for the lead. I appreciate it. I got a lot of my news for a lot of my news. I got a lot of my information from articles from Irish Times, BBC News, a Medium article by Sabana Grande or Grand, one of the two. He wrote an article for Medium about this story. This, I'm just going to start.
Oh, okay.
It's Sunday, May 19th, 1991. Colin Howell is at home and his wife isn't home. So he calls the police. He's like, calls the hospitals, not been any reported accidents or anything. So he's like, what the hell's going on? Where is my wife? Why is she not here? So he calls his church elders saying that he got up and his wife is missing. His wife, Leslie, that he'd been married to for, you know, since the 80s. Like this is his wife.
What year is this?
Home. This is 1991.
Oh, okay.
This all the way also takes place in Northern Ireland. So to kind of just set the scene. I'm setting that
great
scene,
accents,
beautiful accents, lots of beer, I imagine. I don't know. But I'm setting this up because the church plays a large role in this.
Oh, okay.
Because at the time, the church and the police, like a lot of things work in tandem together, right? And he and his wife are very prominent members of their church community. They've both grown up in a very Protestant background and heavily involved in their church.
Okay.
So the church is like a big player in a lot of decision making in their lives and everything.
And
like
I'd assume
that.
It'd have to be if he called them like kind of first.
Interesting. He's like, so, hey, church elders, it's a Sunday, right? He's like, have you guys heard from Leslie? I woke up this morning and she was gone. I don't know what's going on. And also I'd found this note on the kitchen floor that has me a little worried. And the note basically was just kind of like, it's a grief note. A lot had happened recently in their lives. One of those things being that she had just lost her dad. Her dad had recently passed, like just a few weeks before. She just had her fourth child. Only, you know, like 8 or 9 months old at this point. And she had not just with him, but this is their fourth child. So she had gone through some pretty serious postpartum depression with like the last few children. This one was pretty bad. And also she and her husband had been dealing with the clergy a lot because they had been dealing with some counseling. They've been receiving some counseling from their pastor, their priest from the church because Colin had been cheating on his wife.
Ooh.
And so they'd been trying to come to terms with that and move their relationship forward. So the letter was just like a real grief statement of like, you know, this is really tough.
A lot.
I've had a lot going on. It didn't say that there was like harm involved, but recently because of during some of their counseling, early on in their counseling sessions, one of the times that their priest had been there, he had just left and she had locked herself in the bathroom and taken like basically a bottle full of pills. And so he had called the priest back right away and was like, you know, she needs to go to the hospital. They had pumped her stomach. She'd spent 3 days in the hospital. So, you know, this is like, he's like, I'm really concerned because I'm concerned because of where I think her headspace might be right now. Right. Mm-hmm. And he's like, so they were looking everywhere. The police were looking everywhere. And he's like, you know, a town over, my my father-in-law's place is, that's where it's at, and she still has keys there, maybe check there. They checked and he's like, they're like, no, she's not here. And he's like, really? Maybe check again. So they did.
Okay.
Still didn't find her. And they were like, wow. She's like, well, I really don't know where. Maybe we should check one more time.
What? Why, sir? Colin, do you know she's there? Did you? Would you like to just?
So
would you like to show us where she is?
Share with the class.
Do you have something you want to say? So they do find her the third time, and they find her in the garage, in a car that is now dead, but had been running, and it's her surrounded by a bunch of pictures of her family and loved ones, and in the front seat of the car.
I'm gonna get pissed, aren't I? I already feel like I'm pretty mad about this.
Well,
story.
In the front seat of the car is also the girl he's been cheating on with her his wife on, right? Mm-hmm. Her name is Hazel Buchanan. Hazel Buchanan's husband is in the front seat, also dead.
What?
And whoa.
Plot fucking twist.
Whoa.
So
did not see that coming.
Police are like, wow, this is apparently some kind of suicide pact that they'd made together, that they'd both been dealing. All of the both couples had been going to counseling with the priest. So they're
I definitely did not know this story. I thought maybe I did. I was like, oh,
I've never heard this story before.
I do not know this.
Wow.
So they did, you know, look a little bit into it, but they were like, yeah, no, they definitely died from carbon monoxide poisoning is the cause of death. So, you know, it looks like it's, you know, obviously it's a suicide. And so, but let's talk a little bit about this backstory and who the characters are, right? So you have Colin Howell is married to Leslie. That's his wife. They had got married in 1983, but they'd known each other since 1980. And at that time, when they first started dating again, they're both very, very, very Protestants. They're very religious, and they had had some premarital sex. So she had gotten pregnant, and he was like, we cannot, even if we get married today, there's no way that people won't know we had premarital sex. So at the time in Northern Ireland, abortion is illegal. So they make a trip to London so that she can have an abortion. They do this 3 more times.
Stop.
Before
it.
He finally marries her in 1983.
Oh my goodness.
And then
logic there is so fucked up, and I feel like so
yes.
It, you know, indicative of a certain kind of mindset for a certain kind of religious person, where it's just like people knowing about your indiscretion is worse than any sin
repercussions. Yeah,
because you know, I think we all are on that same page regarding abortion. However, I imagine for them, if premarital sex is a sin, they probably believe abortion is a sin too. So they're believing that like it's okay for them. It's not the sin that's the problem. It's people knowing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which that, is an issue.
Yes. And which I think, yes, we'll play into a little bit of some of the things to come. But so in 1983, they've been together and, you know, he's finally done with dental school. That's how they'd met in Belfast. And she's a nurse at the local hospital and they'd kind of, you know, in the medical field. And he, you know, he's done with dental school and he's finally like, okay, now that I've completed these chapters of my life, I'm ready to settle down. Let's go ahead and get married. So they do. They get married and they move to Coleraine, which is a kind of a smaller town in Northern Ireland. And again, both raised very, very, you know, very strongly in their faith. And she gets pregnant once again because apparently he's got the magic sperm.
Yeah, she's very fertile.
Right? Well, you'll find out how fertile he is too.
Oh God.
The couple moves to Coleraine. They start a family. He starts a dental practice. And he has to spend quite a bit of money to get this dental practice up and running, but he doesn't want Leslie to work. He wants her to stay home and be a happy housewife because that's what he wants in their relationship.
He seems controlling.
You think?
Everything you've said so far is on his fucking timeline.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everything is on his timeline. All the money is in his power, and that's the way he likes it. She's getting backed up on bills, and he's like kind of hoarding the money, so she's not able to have access to it. It's a very, very one-sided relationship when it comes to that. And she has expressed multiple times how much she does not love being a stay-at-home mom. She's like, I had a career before I met you. I was a nurse. I would love to do that again. And he's like, yes, but getting married, you knew that this is what you signed up for, is to take care of the family, you know, and take care of our children and take care of the home. But she doesn't love it. And of course, not only is she dealing with, you know, postpartum depression all of these times, like after like her last three children, she had postpartum every single time. So she is,
and I'm sure he fully was depressed, helping so out. Supportive, so much, yeah. And so supportive, yeah, and really there. I'm
just
sure
an emotional pillar, I'm certain. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. So what he is apparently good at is taking the kids on occasion to get them out of the house, to give her a little bit of a break on every once in a while. But it's on these outings that he ends up at the local pool and runs into Hazel. Hazel is a local teacher, and he recognizes Hazel right away. And he's like kind of smitten with her. He's like, oh, she's very hot, but you know, he's married.
Yeah.
And Hazel's married. Right. Yeah.
That's the
so
thing.
Yeah. So, but apparently it's not really a thing for him, because apparently Sir Colin had been cheating. Sir, I'm not even going to give him that. Colin had been cheating on his wife pretty much since they've been married, from the beginning, even probably before they were married.
Prior, yeah.
This very Christian man had been sneaking out on his wife for many, many times, many of them being caught by
this
his wife.
Makes so
his
me wife, so fucking furious. Yeah. Like the whole idea of just like, we have to terminate these pregnancies. Mm-hmm. You don't really get a say in whether or not we're doing that, mm-hmm, because I don't want people to know I've had premarital sex, okay, but I'm also fucking a bunch of other people at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. Like, it's the worst.
It really
it's
is.
The worst. It's the worst kind of hypocrisy.
It is.
Yeah. And it's infuriating, yeah, that kind of like, ugh, I hate
what a
it.
Narcissist.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's there's layers. Yeah, but their marriage is peppered with affairs by Colin. But you know, they always sought faith for healing, okay, and so they've always turned to their faith as like their healing source, and you know, getting counseling through their priest, et cetera, et cetera. And it's the summer of 1990 that Colin does meet Hazel Buchanan, and that's when, like I said, he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna take the kids to the pool." And here's Hazel Buchanan doing laps in the pool casually. You know,
Hazel
like you
Buchanan
do.
Also sounds like an heiress in 1923.
Right. I know.
You know what I mean?
I'm like, actually really like that name.
Yeah. Hazel Buchanan. Like, I feel like she has a family estate. You know what I mean? Like,
I think it's because it reminds you, like, isn't Daisy Buchanan
oh,
the main
I think
character?
That's right. That's right. Yes. That's right. That's, yeah. Yes. What is that movie?
Great Gatsby.
Yeah, Great Gatsby. Yeah. Thank you. At any rate, so she's, you know, she's there. He recognizes her, like I said, because she's a teacher at the school where his children go. And, you know, they strike up a conversation. They actually are going to the same church, but it's, I think it's a fairly big church with multiple services. So they may have never have run into each other at those occasions. Mm. And she is married to her husband, Trevor. Trevor is a local constable, and they have two children as well. They'd actually moved to Coleraine around 1986. It's a loving relationship by every stretch. Like, everybody was like, you know, he's a doting husband. They had a great relationship. But Hazel is also bored, and she's also a little angry at her husband's lack of ambition to move up the ranks within the, you know, police service. And
you know,
she's just like,
what will never fix your anger, boredom, sadness, like everything like that? An affair.
Oh, no.
I promise you it makes mm-mm everything worse.
Yeah, it isn't going to be better. No. That's for sure. But, you know, so, you know, she's sharing all these, you know, woes and troubles with Colin. And Colin is like, yeah, you know, my wife I married, you know, because I thought she'd be a great, you know, mother and et cetera. And she hates cleaning the house, and she, you know, doesn't keep house well. And, you know, she's a great mother,
well,
but she's,
you know,
also,
you could let her go to work, and then you could hire someone to come clean your house.
I bet you could. Mm, I imagine. Could. Imagine that. So it's also small town, right? So we're talking about small town grass sweeping locals. Oh, yeah,
vacuuming that grass.
Yeah. I'm at the pool on the chair watching that. Yeah. And I'm like,
glasses down.
I don't like that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And over the top of those sunnies, like,
You keep going over there to get a refill of your drink and you're just like listening. Mm-hmm. Listening in.
Would you like me to show you a little something in the pool?
Snippets of their conversation.
My hand slip. I mean, it's very much. And so that wasn't even really, that was kind of just the beginning, but they had been seeing each other in secret multiple times and quickly started an affair and had been seen out together scandalously in public, seen on park benches together, talking, and enough where people were like, this seems weird.
Y'all can't go like one town over.
No.
You know?
Apparently like, not. Well, word gets back to the local priest. Somebody was like, I saw them. This ain't right. Something's going on. These are two married people and you need to know, priest. And so the priest is like, goes, knocks on Hazel Buchanan's door and is like, it's come to my attention that you've had some improper relations with
Hazel.
With possibly Colin Howe. I would like to know what's going on. So she's like, well, it's nothing, you know, like I'm married to my husband. I love him very much. We've had some issues and he's just an easy ear to talk to, et cetera, and denies them having an affair.
Okay.
But eventually the priest gets out of her that yes. Yes, it's a little bit more than that, and it's definitely an emotional affair. So the priest goes over to Leslie's house, mm-hmm. and Leslie and Colin, and was like, hey, Leslie, I don't want to be the one to break it to you, but...
Messy! These priests are some nosy Nellies. Yep. They sure are. Jesus.
Exactly.
Sticking their nose right in there.
I didn't want to have to tell you this in that way that's like, yeah. I love
can't wait to tell you this.
And please, yes. Make your reaction super big
so I can eat it
because
legit sipping tea while this is happening. She put the kettle on and everything.
Priest is like, hey, you know, your husband is having apparently an emotional affair. I really think that you guys should also consider counseling. So I will be counseling Hazel and her husband Trevor, and I would also like to separately counsel you two.
Why didn't this priest go to Colin?
Yeah,
he did. Because Colin and Leslie, he went to their house. Oh,
they're together. I thought they went.
I thought he just went just to Leslie.
Because I was just like, he went to Hazel and then to Leslie, but not to Colin. Okay, so yes. Colin and Leslie are together
at the house.
Alrighty,
and he comes in.
It would have been far more messy if he waited for Colin to be at work and then went over there and was like
knock, knock, knock.
BT dubs.
Question.
Yes,
they're both bad. Being cheated on is terrible. Mm-hmm. But like. Physical affair versus emotional affair. Which both. One hurts worse? Well,
emotional.
Yeah.
But to I feel her, the same way. Funny you're asking that because that is where her headspace went too. Is like, oh, well, thank God they never consummated that relationship. They are not having the sex, so we can fix this. That's where her head went right away.
Oh, see, I feel like I would have a much harder time forgiving an emotional affair.
Yeah, but
than a physical one.
She saw it differently, and I agree with you. And I'm glad you brought it up because it's exactly where my head went to. I was like, I think an emotional affair is way worse.
Yeah,
and because that's harder to come back from.
I don't know.
Your head's caught up in somebody. I mean, you're never not going to remember Taika Waititi or Waititi. You know what I'm saying?
It's
an emotional affair.
It's like, well, why can't you share that bond with me? It's like, I understand being attracted to other people or having an attraction.
And wanting to fuck somebody.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we spent the whole first half of this. This episode is going to be called Spank Bang.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yes. So like, I get it. But yeah, the emotional part of it, where that emotional connection is something that I feel very strongly about. I think that would hurt me worse.
And I think that, you know, the way it's been presented so far is that, you know, she'd been having some trouble in her marriage and he's this easy ear who can, you know, commiserate together, and it kind of turned into something, but we can walk our way out of it. This is not turned into something that's physical yet. But it doesn't take very long for it to come out that during their sessions that it actually was physical and they had crossed that line. So, but by this point, she's pregnant with, again, this is her fourth. So this is her fourth, right? So this is the one she becomes pregnant with their fourth child. So this is all kind of like to let you know, timeline wise where we're at. So she's pregnant with her fourth child and she's like, well, what am I going to do? Like walk away pregnant from, you know, this relationship,
do it.
You know? But the priest did say, he was like, just so you guys know, you know, of course, divorce is not something that the church would condone. However, in a case like
infidelity.
This, in the case of infidelity, this would be something that the church would you know, would be able to.
But Colin's ego isn't going to allow for that.
Well, Colin's ego and Colin's like save face within the church. I mean, right. It's one thing for the priest to know, but for the community.
Exactly.
To know.
For them mm-hmm. to get divorced and for it to be because known. Of infidelity and because of his infidelity. Yeah. There's no way
he can't somebody go back to that church
with that kind of ego is going to allow right. that yeah. to happen. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Right. So, eventually when, you know, the couple, you know, like I said, they're going through all their therapy and all this stuff. They're, you know, at the time, I think that Colin and Hazel really did try to commit to getting back with their spouse. But, you know, and the priest told him, she was like, you know, she's really, the priest tells Colin Hazel's really recommitting to her marriage, you know, and it seems like they're doing well. Well, that also triggered Colin because Colin's like, well, wait, how come she can easily just turn me off
yeah.
and turn this back on? I don't understand. And he's like, it can't be true. It cannot be true. So he's like, so even though they'd gone for quite some time without contacting each other, he's like, I must contact her
yeah.
because I need to know.
No,
because
he heard that she moved on
yeah.
and was like,
can't cope with that. He's ugh. Like, that no, certainly she has not moved on. And so he's like, I need to prove it to myself. If she's moved on, I'll know. So they had this little message code thing where they would do when they were together. He would call, let it ring one time, hang up, and then call back. So she would know that it was him calling. And he's like, I'm going to do that. And if she answers, I'll know my answer. She answers. And they were like, you know what? I can't get over you. We're, you know, it was just too much. They couldn't be away from each other. All he could think about was how much, you know, how much better she was than his wife, how much better of a housewife she was, how much better she kept her home.
And oh my
how
God.
Perfect they could be for each other. And their affair eventually, you know, soured though, because once, you know, this kind of came to a head, but then, you know, again, we have Leslie has her fourth child postpartum, right? All that's kind of happening. Then her father dies, as I said. So she's also too like, she's like, I'm done. Now that she knows that it's a sexual affair, she's also like, great. You know, my father died. It's not great that my father died, but he did leave me a sizable amount of money. So I might be able to just walk away from this relationship. Right.
Right. Because oh, he's had control. Angel. Her husband has had control of their finances for so uh-huh. long. Like
she has. Yeah.
This, I feel like, is a good opportunity for me to give a blanket PSA that women especially should have a fuck you fund. Like yep. you need to have like yep. a fuck off bag. Fund. You need to have your own money mm-hmm. so that in any situation you are protected and you can get out of any situation, because not having any access to her own finances, I'm sure, kept her in something for much longer than
yeah.
she would have otherwise. What are you yeah. going to do? Where are you going to go?
That's exactly right. You know, and you know, being isolated because you have no work, you have no friends really, because of, except for through church and your kids or whatever. So, you know,
oh, this
all kind of comes to a head.
Awful. I can't imagine how
cope. Lonely.
Yeah. Right. And this all comes to a head, like I said, on Sunday, May 19th, when all of a sudden, you know, it seems as though these affairs have gone too far and she and Trevor decide that they're going to end it. They both have had it. They know that this is, they're never going to be a way out of these relationships that is going to be beneficial to them. So they, you know, are going to end it, suicide pact. All right. So.
It sounded like Colin wanted that money.
Yeah. So Colin does get that money when she dies.
Of course.
And he, you know, with their spouses out of the way, they don't want their affair to kind of be all on Front Street yet. So they kind of keep it cool for a while. He and Hazel
this
do
town,
continue.
Come on. This town fucking knows. Both Leslie and Trevor are gone.
Yeah.
And there were already rumors about the two of you.
And
y'all
she
should
had
just
an inheritance.
Yeah. Come on. Like, this town knows. They were vacuuming the grass for months.
Yeah. So Hazel and Colin do secretly kind of keep their affair going. And they start to come a little bit more open with their relationship, and you know, and the kids get, you know, connect with each other, and they're gonna have this huge family now because they're gonna have six kids, and it's everything, you know, Colin's dreamed of. But Hazel can't quite like get over the fact that her husband is dead. And so she's just kind of like, this is, I'm just like, so when it comes to sex, she starts to really get kind of cold with him. And not, I hate that. I don't like the word cold when it comes to sex. I don't know why that's such a trigger for me, but that kind of like, she's just like, I'm not really feeling it. So she does eventually though agree that he can use some of his gas from his office to sedate her. Well, so that he can have sex with her.
What?
She's like,
the fuck?
What? Oh no. Oh no.
I don't like that at all. I hate it.
No.
And I know exactly what you're talking about when you're talking about saying like, don't like saying like cold.
Yeah. Or whatever. It's a very triggering word for me.
There's something, I don't know if I've ever talked about it before, but I feel like your body knows sometimes before your mind does.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
the sex stopped in my marriage. Like stopped. I literally couldn't.
Yeah.
And he neither could he. Like our bodies knew before your mind admits it. Listen to your body. Your gut. Your gut knows. Like guy's a piece of shit. She didn't want to.
Yeah. Ugh. But she was like, you know what? You can sedate me. That's fine.
If you have to be sedated, you're not even married to this person. Like if you have to be sedated.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So that's walk away.
Yeah. So it's now 1995. He does propose to Hazel because he's like, let's move this thing forward. It's been 4 years since our spouses have passed. Let's check out these places in Scotland. Let's move my dentistry there and let's start a fresh new. So eventually her body does win out. And by 1996, she's like, I've had enough. Like, what are we doing here? Like, this is never going to work out. And she ends up finding somebody new, which he can't fucking take, of course.
Right.
And so there were many like occasions in which like he would like stalk them and stuff that was really weird until 1997, in which he hosts like a big mixer at his home for the community, his Bible study group, and it's like a singles mixer, and he meets Kyle Jorgensen. Kyle Jorgensen is this beautiful girl, young, just moved to Northern Ireland because she was escaping a really horrible marriage from her ex-husband, a really abusive guy. So she was like, you know what? I'm going to Northern Ireland, with her two kids, and she just left.
How do predators know? Like, I feel like they just have this like sixth sense when they're like, they can spot someone, you know, who's like in kind of a fragile place, because it's just like, this person had been abused before. She was coming out of a bad marriage. I feel like people like this, like they just have radar where they like, they know they're like, I can prey on that person.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they eventually fall in love. And they get married, and that he's opening multiple practices, and they end up having together, I think, 5 more children.
Stop it. Oh my God. That's wow.
It's a lot of fucking kids.
So yeah.
He didn't have, okay, hold on. Did he have any kids with Hazel? No.
No.
Okay. So he has the 4. Oh.
But she did get pregnant during their affair, in which he took her to, you guessed it,
London for the abortion. Yep. Oh, my God.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
So he's got 4 kids with Leslie.
9 kids.
He's got 5 with Kyle.
Yep.
Kyle had
2.
2?
Yeah.
All righty. I just wanted to get clear on like the fact that there's like...
Well, math it out. Yeah. We got a lot of 11 kids.
Yes.
Well,
right? Am I doing that right? 11.
Yeah.
Okay. 11.
So they're married. Life's beautiful. Things are going well. And, you know, day by day, he's getting a little bit more distant, Things are happening. And he finally one day says, Kyle, I have something I need to tell you. I have to confess that I killed my wife. And I killed Trevor.
What?
And I have to get this off my chest because I can't live with it any longer. Hazel and I went in together on this and worked together to make sure, like, to get rid of them. And she's like, you have to call the priest immediately. And you have to, I know.
the priest? You have to call the priest immediately, like 911 or 999, whatever they use there. Yes.
And okay. he's like, you're absolutely right. I'm ready to confess. It's time. And I need to do this.
What brought this on?
I don't remember what brought this one on, but he was like, you're right, we need to do it. Well, he's like, but before I do, I need to make sure that you're settled. We have a lot of kids. I mean, if I go to prison, you're not going to be making income. So I'm going to sell my dental practices to set you up so that when I go away, you'll be set up to take care of the kids, right? So he's like, but
somehow I think that this is not his motivation.
So he's like, okay. So he does try to sell his dental practice and it falls through. And he's like, well, that's weird. That must be like a sign from God that he doesn't want me to confess.
Literally, so then, go fuck yourself.
So
Colin.
Then she's like, well, I can't live with this burden of knowing this information. You need to at least tell our parents. And they're coming to town. So this will be a time that you can tell our family so that we can move forward.
His parents or her parents?
Both. They're both. Both sets of parents are coming to town. Well, at the very last minute.
That 100% is not going to happen.
And also, why? So, like, why are you just... why do you all want to unload your secret on other people who are then going to have to carry that secret? Like, why would you do this? Why would you be like, we need to tell our parents? Well, like, for what?
Somebody that is so that obviously, like, sick because, like, they don't understand the burden that, like, a regular person but has to carry.
Also her. Know? Why would you tell your parents? Like, I don't understand this for what purpose.
Well, because she wants to make sure that... She wants this confession to be out in the open, and she feels that they need to hear it not from the news, like he's getting arrested. Like, they need to hear it from him, from his mouth, and it's going to be better to tell them in person than on the phone.
That only works if you are then going to turn yourself in.
And that was the plan. Okay. That was the plan. Yes. So the plan is he sells his stuff, he confesses to the family, he then confesses to the police or the clergy first and then the police. And
I see. Okay,
gets his just desserts, right?
That's different. All right.
So the plan was is that the family was coming to town. At the very last minute, his dad calls and cancels. He can't make it.
Sign from God.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait a second. This Jesus must be said no. A sign from God. Something else happens. They're at church and this young woman comes up to him out of nowhere and was like, I just need to tell you this, but God spoke to me and said that your sins are forgiven and that, you know, like you, everything's good. You're gravy, basically. And he's like, I needed to hear that. Thank you. Everything's looking up. Everything's roses. You're right.
So mad.
I shouldn't fucking confess because this is silly. My life is perfect. So
this is like, silly.
This is God's so blessing silliness. My life. Mm. And so who am I to go against God and his blessings and, you know, go against that? I mean, I need to ride this blessings wave out. And so he and Kyle just keep riding the blessings wave. And, but then around August 2006, a really good friend of his passes away, and he passes away from an infection, from like a gum disease infection or something that gave him, like, ended up giving a heart attack, whatever. It's something that he, as a dentist, felt very personal because he was like, holy shit, this is something I should have caught. I can't believe one of my best friends died from something that I do as, like, for my living, you know? Right. And so he was like,
maybe this, that's God.
And that's what he said. He's like, oh my gosh, God, what are you punishing me now? Well, then April 2007, his oldest son is in Russia going to school, St. Andrews or whatever. And he there's an accident. He's fighting with his roommate, and his roommate says he runs out of the room and his slippery slacks make him go over the edge of the banister and fall 4 floors to his death. So then his son dies. Yeah, no, it sounds sketchy.
In
sounds like there might be something to look into there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But they're like, nope, accidents happen. Slippery socks. Am I right?
You know how those slippery socks be. Mm-hmm. Be suspicious.
Yeah.
And then in December 2008, all the money that he had taken and been investing and opening all of his practices, he's very successful. In December 2008,
the crash.
Oh, no, he put his money into... this scam. This guy was like scammed him out of money out of the Philippines, and he lost every fucking thing. God is pissed. So God is punishing him, clearly. He's going to have to
fucking
confess.
At least somebody is.
Yeah.
Sounds like he needs it.
He's like, all this shit is happening. He's lost all this money. Kyle is in Florida with all their children. And he calls her in Florida and is like, it's time. I am going to confess. Also, I've lost all our money. Also, for the past 3 years, I've been having an affair.
No! Fuck! I'm so mad at this guy so much. So honestly.
She flies home.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, I live here now. Bye.
She calls home, or she comes home, and they go, beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. Clergy, could you please come over?
Are you kidding me? Call the Garda. Isn't that what they're called there? In Ireland. Oh my God. Enough. So
the church elders come over and the priest comes over and starts his confession. He confesses to the affairs. He has a porn addiction. Also, for the past 5 years, he's had a certain number of patients that he has sedated and had sexual.
No.
Sexually abused. And then finally, and also up until the sexual abuse part, the clergy are like, yeah, no, we kind of know this. What are we doing here? And so then he was like, oh, yeah, there's the sexual abuse thing. Oh, and also, just FYI, I did kill Leslie and Trevor.
Oh, my God. Hazel, so did he sedate them as well?
Hazel was my accomplice. So what happened was...
Oh, God.
The evening, he told Hazel, he was like, the only way we can be together, we can't get divorced. The only way we can be together is to get rid of our spouses, right? So he concocts this device in which he puts a cut baby bottle that he cuts in half, fixes to the exhaust of his car, runs a hose into the inside. And his wife had been taking some sleeping pills and taking some medication to deal with, but she'd also kind of been mixing with alcohol. So when she falls asleep, she knocks the fuck out. So he winds this hose in and puts it like right next to her mouth so that she's eventually going to die from carbon monoxide poisoning. Well, she starts to wake up. So he throws a blanket over her head, starts to suffocate her, but make sure the nozzle stays inside and kind of tents the air, so she ends up eventually dying from carbon monoxide poisoning. He puts her into the trunk. This is all while the kids are upstairs asleep. Oh. And apparently the last thing he said was that she called out for her oldest son.
Oh.
And so when her oldest son died, he was like, oh my God, you know, this is really a sign. This is a real sign from God. It's time to give it up. So... Then he says, so then he calls with his special phone call way, one ring, hang up, ring again. So he's like, and then she picks up and she's like, yeah, he's ready. And she said, and so he had given her some of Leslie's drugs to drug his drink. And so she had crushed up some of these pills and put them in his beverage so he would fall asleep. So he gets there and with his special concocted nozzle hose trick. The only thing she really had to do was move the car out of the garage so that he could pull the car into the garage and be able to run the hose into the house. Well, he's laying in bed, and so he goes in and he puts the hose next to his face. Well, fuck, he wakes up too, and unlike Leslie, bigger. Yeah, he did not have enough of those sleeping pills, and he's putting up a real fight. So he ends up like pretty banged up. And, you know, they, you know, have a little bit of a scuffle, but he ends up getting him to have the hose in his mouth and he ends up dying. So then he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do with these bodies. So he's like, oh, you know what? Town away, I can go stash them at
Home Dude's house.
Yeah. Yeah. At my ex father-in-law's house. Right. So that's what he does. And then 18 years later, just happily ever aftering his whole life away until he confesses. And so the police go to Hazel's house and are like, knock, knock, knock. We're not the priest. We're here to come get you.
Yeah.
Time is up. She denies everything, of course. And she's just kind of like, no, I wasn't really involved. And I don't know if he told you about this sedation thing that he was doing. But yeah, I'm definitely didn't have anything to do with it. And they're like, it's impossible basically for her not to have somewhat been involved. He would have gotten the crush up pills. There's like all these things that just don't line up, right? So at any rate, he ends up testifying against her in court. He pleads guilty, so he's serving life in prison for the two homicides, and she also was eventually found guilty, and he testified against her in court.
Oh my gosh.
And all the sexual assaults too.
So that's the latest thing I read, because she was going to take him to court for the sexual assaults. And that actually, I think, was from 2021, and that actually got thrown out because it was all part of this plan to help Hazel get out of prison for not being responsible. And the courts are just like, no.
No, but what about all the sexual assaults of the other people in his practice?
They're like, it is what it is. He's already going to be in jail for the rest of his life. That's kind of the way they're looking at that. They're like, why spend more money?
Really don't feel like I would feel that way if it happened to me.
No, same. Listen, I'm not justifying it, but I'm just telling you that they're like, it doesn't make sense. He's already going to be in prison for the rest of his life. There's literally no more time could be added to his sentence. He's literally going to be in jail forever.
But
you want justice.
In the court. And just be like, you fucking did this. Like,
yeah. And you should have to own up to this specific terrible thing on top of all the other terrible things.
So it should be fine.
Ugh. You know, and he only confessed because things were going bad.
Yeah.
Badly.
Yeah.
For him.
He lost everything.
Yeah.
He's like, now it's
running and yet. Yeah.
Wow. I hate it.
Yeah.
Cassie.
I've never heard that story before. He would have gotten away with it.
Yeah.
God, that guy is awful.
Yeah.
What a piece of shit. I just can't. Going through your life being that much of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, how do you live with yourself? How does anyone live with themselves?
Any empathy whatsoever or ability to, like.
Yeah. This story has so many layers to it. There was a show that wasn't able to watch because it was only broadcast in the UK. There was a whole like four. Oh, no, that I didn't watch that either. But it was a dramatized mm-hmm. series called Secrets. And I think it was like IDTV did it or something.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Which I think you can buy to watch on like Amazon Prime or something like that. Like, I think it's available somewhere, but I didn't watch it. I don't like watching dramatized versions.
Yeah. No.
Ugh. Not my favorite.
Head's on fire. Good one, Cass.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Or wild.
Wild. Very wild. Ugh. Well, what are you guys watching this week?
Can you think of anything besides your anger? I'm so mad. It's a shitty story.
Wow. Yeah, that guy's the worst.
Yeah. The worst. I have been watching Bloodline. I finally started watching Bloodline.
I had trouble with that. I watched the entire first season and then I kind of let it go.
I'm on, I think, episode 7 of the first season.
The shit brother?
Uh-huh.
Is so good.
He's incredible.
He's an incredible actor, and he's so good at being shitty that it actually like infuriated me and gave me so much anxiety to watch it.
But you know what? He plays that part really perfectly because he was also in The Outsider, and he's great. Actor.
Yeah, I loved that show.
He plays that part really perfectly. Granted, I'm not all the way through with this season yet, but he's also he does exactly what a character should do, which is, he's empathetic too at points where you're just like, oh, I feel bad for him, even though like he's like such a
piece of shit.
Just a mess. So it's just like a mess of a character. There are still moments where you're like, oh, I feel really bad for you, you know, and that's a good actor who's able to hit that balance.
He's incredible.
Yeah, he's very good. And I don't know what Bloodline is. It's got Linda Cardellini in it, which I fucking love. Her. Yeah. She's beautiful. Sissy Spacek in it. It's great. It's well done.
What's it on?
Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was nominated for a bunch of stuff in its first season. I think it's had like 3 seasons now. I wasn't sure at first because I was like, is this just a family drama? Like, I'm confused about what's happening.
Yeah.
But there is like also a crime element to it and stuff. And I like it so far. But like I said, I'm not done with the first season yet. So I'll be interested to talk to you, Christina, about it whenever I'm done with it. But I am enjoying it.
Nice.
Right now.
Yeah.
We are doing a couple of things. When we like eat dinner, we'll like to put on something light and silly. So we started watching Modern Family.
Yay!
Because Cass and I, we went to get our nails done for like the first time in over a year. Feels like. And they were playing Modern Family in the nail salon. And I was like, you know what?
Forget how good the show is.
Yeah. That show is fun.
So good.
It's super cute, especially the first season. Yeah. It's just like every now and again, you need one of those shows that you can pop in on any episode. Yeah. It doesn't have to be like linear. You don't have to know the backstory of what's going on. You can just kind of like at any point you can jump in and enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
It's definitely one of those. Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty much where we've been at. And then we started watching Vietnam War to go to bed too.
To balance. There's balance for you. Yeah.
Well, I've been on this Ken Burns kick forever. He's a national treasure.
Yes.
And we finished Country Music for the second time. So
good. Ugh. It's delicious.
Learned a lot. There is a lot that we don't get taught in school.
Oh, about Vietnam?
Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I watched the first three episodes. I was kind of telling you that earlier, a while ago. And I actually, you know what? How I watched them was on a plane. That's why.
Oh.
I watched them on a couple flights. That's why I never continued, because I couldn't get access to it outside of that. For some reason, I was having problems finding way to watch it. So I did. I watched like the first three episodes and I was like, I'm fucking blown away. It was so good. Ken national Burns, treasure.
The best.
The best. Yeah. The best. Oh gosh, what am I watching right now? What have I watched? Gosh. I'm trying to think. I've actually been reading. I read I'm reading just some spicy nonsense.
Mm-hmm. You know, like always you do. Good.
Yeah.
You know, just like dessert for your brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Junk food for your brain, just, as it were.
As my favorite. Literally wearing that shirt right now.
I know.
Well, hey, if you guys have something that we should read or watch, or you just want to reach out and say hello, if you have bad dates, go to
high school stories.
I know.
Yes, share them.
Go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's mywordstatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers.